Good evening and welcome once again to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM, San Francisco Bay Area. I'm your host, Jeff Hayden. Every day in California, people face criminal charges. At the time the case is initially charged, the prosecution designates the charge as an infraction, a misdemeanor, or a felony. Some serious charges, such as robbery or kidnapping or arson, are felonies. Less serious charges, such as petty theft or simple possession of most drugs for personal use, these are always going to be misdemeanors. In California, many, many charges can be designated as either, and often based on the prosecution's first assessment of the case, before many of the facts of that underlying offense or before much about the accused are known, and they're going to be designated as either a felony or misdemeanor, and often stay there. The fact is, most offenses are carried out by the young, that is, when no one's looking ahead toward the effects of a conviction and what that will have, what that will do to them later in life. The law provides various means for clearing your criminal record, something many people pursue often years after the conviction was suffered. Tonight we're going to answer the question, when do these remedial measures, whether it be record clearance or such, when do they restore someone's ability to resume a more normal life, often years after sometimes minor offenses? When is such relief available? When is it effective and when is it less so? And particularly if you're seeking help for yourself or a loved one, where can you or somebody turn for help? You're now in your 30s. You're married with kids. Only that marriage has hit hard times. Might a conviction from many, many years earlier affect your fight over child custody? Or you're approaching 40, looking for a different lifestyle. All that education, but when you seek a professional license, an old conviction for automobile burglary surfaces, it's been 15 years. Isn't that long enough? Tonight on Your Legal Rights, we're talking about clearing your criminal record. Where do you turn for help? When won't these tools work to do what they purport to do? What types of changes will be necessary before these changes will do what they purport to do? Tonight, we have guests that are here to explain what works, what doesn't, and how they can help. But as always, we're eager to hear what's on your mind and answer your questions. Give us a call at 415-841-4134. If you're outside of the Bay Area, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. As always, our attorney guests can't give you specific legal advice as they may not have all of the salient facts of your particular situation. But they are and we are happy to share the legal principles to help guide your decision-making. And the views expressed mightn't be those of their employers or their clients, but again, they're always here to help. And lastly, you can contact us with any question on tonight's topic. You want to talk about record clearance after a criminal conviction? You're not limited to the point we may be in the conversation. And to guide us through this overview, joining us tonight, Judge Eugene M. Hyman, retired from the Superior Court of California in the County of Santa Clara, where for some 20 years he presided over cases in the criminal, civil, probate, family, and juvenile delinquency divisions of the court. Judge Hyman is consulted as an expert witness on criminal and family law cases where the issues of domestic violence are present, and has testified as an expert in the family law court. Mitri Hanania is an assistant managing attorney at the Private Defender Program of the San Mateo County Bar Association, where he oversees post-conviction cases. Before joining the management of the Private Defender Program, Mitri defended those accused of crimes through traditional criminal cases, administrative hearings, specialty courts. Mr. Hanania is certified as a specialist in criminal law by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. Also joining us, Cherie Wallace is a Bay Area-based criminal defense attorney with over 15 years' experience. Ms. Wallace began her career working for a small immigration firm and the Marin County Public Defender's Office and at Bay Area Criminal Lawyers PC. Since 2017, Ms. Wallace has been a member of the Alameda County's Criminal Court-Appointed Attorneys Program and now serves as a member of the San Mateo County Private Defender Program, where she handles various criminal matters for indigent clients out of San Mateo County, ranging from misdemeanors to felonies that carry a possible life exposure. And I also want to point out that an invitation was submitted to the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office. Unfortunately, we did not receive a reply before the time we're going on air tonight. And of course, our final and most important guest is all of you listeners, as we welcome your questions and brief comments. And certainly, if you have a family member in need of the support, we're here to help. There's much to discuss. Our phone number, again, is 415-841-4134 or 866-798-8255. And with that, Cherie, Mitri, Judge Hyman, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
You know, before we started, I was hoping somebody would jump in and give a very brief description of some of the systems of record clearance. I mean, traditionally, we're talking expungements. We're talking about reductions from felonies to a misdemeanor. And I guess the real question that comes up is, you've been convicted. Why would you want to seek to change your record later? But who would like to start out and give me a brief description of some of these remedies?
I have a personal note on that. I've had a friend for over 15 years who was about reaching age 67, celebrated his birthday a few days ago on September the 11th, a memorable day for all of us. And he had asked me at one point, he had been arrested on a charge in Los Angeles County where he accidentally stepped on an officer's foot during a scuffle in a bar, and he was taken in, and the case was never filed, but it appeared on his record. And he wanted it sealed because in his mind and to his right, he wanted to be able to pass in life with his record corrected. And that is one reason of many that I hear in the post-conviction unit, Jeff.
And what's interesting is that in a case such as that one, someone reviewing the case had the wherewithal to realize this is not something that we need to seek a conviction for. This is not worth the resources we're taking from the criminal justice system. It's certainly not just to take these resources and to have that effect on an individual. And yet up until recently, there was no vehicle by which he could come back and get the arrest off his record. Judge Hyman, what would you like to say in this regard?
Well, with respect to the example just given, the only possible remedy that he has is a motion for factual innocence. And if the motion is granted, then the databases are contacted, and they're advised to remove the arrest. My experience with respect to factual innocence or with respect to expungement is, even though the agencies receive the notice of expungement or receive the notice that a motion for factual innocence, which is extremely rare in terms of winning, has happened, that doesn't mean that all of these agencies reply back to the court or reply back to anyone indicating that they have done what they are required to do to make these various corrections. In other words, how does a person make sure, that is the individual, make sure that everyone has taken the motion for factual innocence and granted that they've done what they're supposed to do, that in the case of a felony, they've removed their DNA from the DNA database, not to mention withdrawing the arrest. I mean, and if the motion for factual innocence is granted, in many cases, the person's arrest will still be there. It'll just say motion for factual innocence was granted. I mean, it just doesn't go away, especially with the internet and with all of these various private entities that make a business out of selling this kind of information. With respect to expungement, where the motion has been granted, and it's really quite simple. When you have completed probation, or if probation has been denied and a period of a year has gone by, you can file a motion with the court. You can do it through the probation department. What's important is that you have nothing else pending. You're not on probation. You don't have other charges pending, and you've completed successfully probation. Or if you weren't granted probation, the year is up and nothing else has happened, then your record can be sealed. Here again, the agencies that receive this notification rarely, from what I've been told by clerks, rarely does the agency write and say, yeah, we've received it and we've taken the appropriate action. With respect to the Department of Justice and California Department of Justice and their records, good luck. The other thing that's concerning is, let's say that you're a juvenile and law recently, well, not so recently, a couple of years ago changed, that it's supposed to be automatic now, except in very limited situations, that you automatically get sealing. And here again, I've seen it in the clerk's office in juvenile, where the clerk's office has sent notice to the arresting agency. And the arresting agency, after being notified several times, has still not replied to the court, to the clerk's office, that they have complied with the sealing. So what is your remedy? Number one, how do you even find out that they haven't complied? And number two, what do you do if they haven't complied? Do you bring a motion for contempt because they're not complying with a lawful court order? Good luck with that.
When you were on the bench, how many such contempt findings did you make against law enforcement for not showing that they sealed their records?
Well, I never had a request. I've never had anyone, a defense attorney or a former minor who was offended. I never had anyone put it on calendar for order to show cause in re contempt. But it would have been interesting, I'll grant you that. I think before I actually held someone in contempt, I think I would have had the clerk call the chief's office or something and say, hey, you know, they've sent you notice a couple of times. You've never responded. Take care of it. Notify us, or I will hold a hearing. And someone from your department can show up and explain why you haven't followed a court order. But the other thing that's concerning to me, and it's so concerning, I wrote a law review article about it.
Can I stop you there for just a moment? Sure. I want to spend considerable time on that. That's something I do want to cover. Before we get there, we're happy to help you if you call us. We're happy to put you in touch with attorneys that can give you legal advice, that can talk about your specific situations. Tonight, we're talking about record clearances and various other devices, and we have the people here to help. That's only possible because of the generosity of the folks at KALW. To that end, I'm going to hand it off to somebody from the station, and we'll be back here with you in just a moment.
This is KALW and KALW.org, and you're listening to Your Legal Rights. And we're taking a short break to remind you that this is the first day of KALW's fall fundraising drive. And John Carroll is here. He is directing the drive. And John, I think we have a goal of six people.
We have more than six people that we have a goal for, but we want to thank a few folks already who've given. We have a goal of $25,000 for tonight because we have a $25,000 challenge match thanks to the estate of Heidi Chip, who is a longtime volunteer and member of the station, and so she's made this gift as a legacy to help make sure that KLW remains vibrant and remains here as part of the community because she loved the programming and she wants to make sure that it's here for everyone else. You can make sure that that also happens and is here for everyone else by calling us right now at 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go online at kalw.org and click donate. And thanks to a couple of quick folks here right now who've made that gift and helped us a little further on our meeting our challenge. We want to thank Patricia Fisher, Martha Sellers, and Shoshana Silberman in Oakland, Clarice Correll, Masa Fisher, and Kent Howard in San Francisco, and Barbara Ferguson in South San Francisco, and Frederica Similius in Kensington. So thank you all for your gifts. Also, Janice Plotkin in Oakland made her gift and said, "The highlight of my week is Dory Stein and Saturday night." So thank you so much for calling in and letting us know what you love here about KLW. You can do that too when you call to make your pledge. That number again is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917, or online at kalw.org and click donate to make your gift.
For this hour of Your Legal Rights, I'd like to see six of you going to your phones or your devices and helping us out with your support. Six of you calling in 800-525-9917 or online kalw.org. You know, Your Legal Rights has been on the air for over 30 years. This
yes.
is the oldest local program on KALW. And it was originally started by Chuck Finney, and Jeff Hayden has now stepped in and has been doing an admirable job filling in for Chuck. And show your support and appreciation for Jeff's efforts. He has come in to host the show, and he's under the weather. He's sick with laryngitis, but he came in here anyway. And Jeff covers a wide range of different topics every week. From tax tips to abortion to criminal justice reform, landlord-tenant, cryptocurrency, and even Donald Trump. And, you know, his special guest last year was Donald Trump's personal attorney, John Eastman,
yeah.
who's now under criminal indictment.
Under criminal indictment. Yeah.
We got a coup.
It is amazing, the you know, kudos to you, Jeff, because the talent that you bring in terms of the legal firepower that we hear from is amazing, and you can't get that anywhere else because we've heard from, you know, as you said, John Eastman and Erwin Chemerinsky and some of the other like big thought leaders in the field. And so thank you for that, for bringing that here, making it available to the community through KLW. You know, what I know would make Jeff feel a lot better is if those six people would call right now and make that pledge of support at 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or go online at kalw.org and click the donate button. Thank you so much for your support.
Back to you, Jeff.
Thank you, and welcome back to Your Legal Rights. And I did want to give you a chance, Judge Hyman, to talk a little further. As I understand it, I think you wanted to talk about the last vehicle that we were contemplating, which is reduction from a felony to a misdemeanor.
Yeah, Let me just say that with respect to the motions for factual innocence that I heard in over 20 years, I only granted one of them. Because the law, I think, is rather conservative in terms of what needs to be proven in order to grant that relief. With respect to reductions from felony to misdemeanors, I think I look back over my career. I wish that I did it on my own motion more. Than just waiting to hear from a defense attorney requesting it. There's a conflict in the sense that you have the executive branch represented by the district attorney's office that determines the initial charges in terms of whether it's a felony or misdemeanor or an infraction. The judge has certain opportunities only if a felony can be reduced to a misdemeanor, because many felonies, for example, perjury is a straight felony. Robbery is a straight felony. And the problem with perjury is that even if there's DMV perjury, which is a misdemeanor, the executive branch can charge it as a straight felony, and there's nothing that anyone can do about it. So that's problematic. And I think most judges, myself included, like to defer to the executive branch in terms of decision making, at least initially, in terms of how they wish to go. But when I found out that expungement sealing didn't really mean what we think it means, that is, if you're applying for a license, Section 8 housing, things like that, and they do a background check, even though it's been sealed, the regulatory agencies, the bar, medicine, dentistry, real estate, they get to look behind the sealing. And for most of these agencies, once a felony, always a felony, even if it has later been reduced to a misdemeanor. And I think in many cases, that is a consequence that is much too dear. I don't think someone needs to wear the Scarlet A for their entire lives for a mistake that was made very early on in life. And that's where I got, in terms of looking back over my life, I'm saying, you know, I wish I had been a little bit more liberal granting that relief, because very few people have records that you need to be concerned about with respect to keeping a felony a felony. Very few people are going to be going to state prison, and very few people, unless they have, you know, horrible substance abuse issues, are going to be violating probation. So do we really need to jam up all these people with these records that will follow them for the rest of their lives, especially when we consider that most of these people are going to become parents, and as a result of these records, they're going to have lower paying jobs than if they didn't? Is that really helpful in terms of the big picture? And it's obviously on a case-by-case basis, but I'm not sure that we all benefit from a society by doing it that way.
Let me turn it to a caller. We have Bill from Green Bay, who's been very patient with us. Bill, you're on the air. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you very much. This is not to your point, so you may not want to get into this, but very simply, one of the investment corporations misapplied in 2021 a Roth IRA contribution, because it's supposed to go in 2020, but they applied it to 2021. And then when 2022 came in, they misapplied that. And when 2023 came in, they misapplied that. They finally recognized it and admitted they made the mistake. Supposedly they're correcting it, but I cannot get them to give me a simple statement which says, here's 2020 correctly done, 2021 correctly done, and 2022 correctly done in the fund, the dollar amount, and when it was posted, because it had to be corrected to the IRS. And I'm wondering if they have a fiduciary responsibility to me to provide me with that document indicating that they were all corrected.
You're a bit off topic for what we've been talking about, but it's certainly very, very parallel. This is something where you are innocent of any wrongdoing. Somebody misapplied something.
And they admitted they did it.
And you deserve to have them stand up and stand in front of you and face the IRS and tell them, he did everything right.
So do I have, what recourse do I have to, in quote, get them to do, give me the document?
You're a little outside the field of what we're covering tonight. I don't know if anybody that's here is really versed on that type of you're really in the realm of federal regulatory law, I would recommend you contact an attorney through the Lawyer Referral and Information Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, who covers both San Francisco and Marin, and they can get you somebody that practices before the IRS. We occasionally have tax lawyers on the program, too, and they both, the ones that I'm familiar with, do work out of that office as well. Their number is 415-989-1616, and you're going to hear it in just a moment as well, but again, their number is 415-989-1616. And what you really want is somebody that practices before the Internal Revenue Service that can help connect the corrections made by the trustee of the Roth IRA who's been taking care of things and the IRS so that they know that you get clean hands and don't get a penalty.
Well, thank you. So this is, quote unquote, actionable on my part?
That I would wait until you call one of those attorneys. Actionable in terms of enforcing the right to make sure you come out of it clean, no question about it. Looking further than that, any damage issues or whatever, I think I would want one of the tax attorneys to answer your question.
No, thank you. I'm not interested in damages as much as getting the record straight.
And that's what we are talking about tonight. The arena's different, but it's exactly what we've been talking about.
So 989-1616.
Exactly.
Thank you for your help.
My pleasure. Best of luck to you.
Bye.
And again, if you have questions for my guests, we're usually talking in the state courts primarily, but some of the same issues work both with state courts, federal courts, federal regulatory agencies. We're talking about clearing your criminal record with retired Judge Eugene Hyman, Redwood City Attorney Sheree Wallace, and Mitri Hanania. If you have questions for my guests, our phone number is 415-841-4134. If you're calling from outside of the San Francisco Bay Area, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. You can call regarding any question on tonight's topic. You don't have to jump into where we are at the conversation. And you're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW San Francisco Bay Area. We'll be back right after this.
Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information. And I should mention that KALW gets a tiny bit of support from the Bar Association of San Francisco, but most of its support comes from you, our listeners. And this is the first day of KALW's fall membership campaign, and we're asking as many of you as possible who are listening to us right now to step forward and help us out at 800-525-9917, 800-KALW-917, or online kalw.org, kalw.org. And we need four more of you to make our goal for this hour of Your Legal Rights. I'm happy to say that a few people have stepped forward and helped us out. Thank you to Scott from Sausalito. Thank you to Bella from Berkeley. You can join Scott and Bella by showing your support and appreciation for Jeff Hayden and Your Legal Rights. The number to call, 800-525-9917. Or online, kalw.org. And joining me to entice you over to your phones or devices is our development director, John Carroll.
Good evening, and thank you, Joanne. You know, KALW is really an amazing community resource, and it's something that we all share. So, you know, it's built on facts and engaging reporting and dialogue and builds connections and mutual understanding. A lot of the things that you hear tonight on this particular show in terms of, like, how do we move forward? What do we need to do? How do we get the information that we need? These are vital resources that you can't get anywhere else. And it's only through your support of the programming here at KALW that we can offer things like this, because your support keeps us independent. Your support keeps us going because we're not dependent upon corporate sponsorship. We don't run ads 24 minutes out of every hour. We don't do a lot of those things. We depend upon you because you understand that as a community resource, you're part of that community just like we are. And so we're asking you right now to take your part in this community and call us with your gift. 1-800-525-9917 is the number to call. Or you can go online at kalw.org and click donate. And if you do so right now, you can take advantage of this $25,000 challenge match we have from the estate of Heidi Chip. And you'll get your gift doubled. So don't wait. Do it right now. Call 1-800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org.
And John is absolutely right. We can be a public resource because we have the freedom to take on these controversial topics or to answer your legal questions. And, you know, that's because we are listener-supported and we do have that freedom. We're not beholden to advertising or corporate sponsors. And Jeff can take on any topic that you want to hear, and that's thanks to your support. So please, come forward for us now. Show your appreciation before we return to the program. 800-525-9917, 800-KALW-917, or online kalw.org. And now back to you, Jeff.
Let me point this question to Cherie Wallace. You work on, you know, boots on the ground like I do. You've got a client that contact you perhaps right after probation or perhaps years after their conviction. Why would somebody want to seek to change their record, often years later?
Oh, there are numerous reasons why someone might come forward and want to address their record. Some of the things off the top are employment. The most obvious one being employment. You want to be able to go to your employer and be the most appealing person possible. And the reality is the difference between a felony conviction and a misdemeanor conviction is substantial. But even in addition to that, more gainful employment. Let's say you're seeking state licensing. You want to be a nurse or you want to go into real estate. You want to go into something where the state has to license you in order to perform those duties. Having a felony conviction is just catastrophic to trying to obtain state licensing. Having said that, when you receive 17B relief is a major issue, because even if you go through felony probation and you go through years of listening to your probation officer, working hard, staying away from drugs and or alcohol, obeying the law, a lot of times that felony conviction, even if it's reduced after felony probation, doesn't necessarily guarantee you that your immigration status will be any safer, or that you're going to be able to get that state license, or that you're going to be able to find employment. It really is a major issue, because 17B relief can be granted at different stages of the criminal proceedings. In felony cases, we have what's called a preliminary hearing. And at the preliminary hearing, it's a probable cause finding where the court basically is looking to determine whether or not there's enough evidence to justify the case going to the trial level. We don't have enough courtrooms as it is. We don't want to have cases that have no evidentiary value proceeding to trial. So we're trying to weed out those cases at the preliminary hearing level. I always invite the court to reduce wobblers to misdemeanors, and wobblers are felony charges that could also be charged as misdemeanors. I always invite the court to engage in 17B relief at the preliminary hearing stage, because when you're waiting till the end of probation, someone's already been convicted by a felony by then, which means they had a longer probation term than if they were convicted of a misdemeanor. It means that there are certain things that won't change even regardless. For example, if it's a serious or violent felony, it still counts as a strike later on, even if you reduce it to a misdemeanor. For purposes of immigration, ICE can still look at it in terms of the felony record that it was, as opposed to the misdemeanor that it so-called is. But I think one of the major frustrations of being a boots on the ground person is a lot of times judges are a lot more inclined to grant 17B relief after someone has already been convicted of the felony and after they've served the full felony probation term. that is when 17B relief has the least effectiveness in terms of helping someone with their career, with advancement, with immigration consequences. It's just not as helpful at that stage. At that preliminary hearing stage, you can save someone from ever having the felony conviction to begin with. You can get their bail reduced. If they're in custody, they could actually be released from custody, going from potentially a $50,000 bail down to a $5,000 bail, where maybe they could go out, get employed, help with their family instead of languishing in jail on a charge that could be charged as a misdemeanor to begin with. Those are the times where you really want the courts to exercise that discretion to temper justice with mercy, and to try and really take into consideration the facts of the case. I think that a lot of times judges like to treat 17B motions the same way they treat 1203.4 motions. 1203.4 motions are motions for record clearance. And record clearance is something that happens after probation. You have to do well on probation to be entitled to it, right? You have to go through all the things that you're supposed to go through, whatever classes you were supposed to take, whatever things you were supposed to do. 17B relief, in my view, is different. If you're clearing your record, yes, you should have to go through your full probation term and do everything you need to do in order to get your record cleared. 17B relief is different in my view. 17B relief exists not after someone is convicted, but before. You're looking at the facts of the case, asking yourself, is this a case that justifies a person becoming a felon? Is this action, whatever the person did, so serious that we need to make sure that they have the highest category of crime on their record? Because there's nothing more serious than a felony, right? There's an infraction, there's a misdemeanor, and there's a felony. There is nothing over that. So when you get to that level, for me, it's just so critical that we're not having people who could be charged as a misdemeanor being convicted of felonies, you know. And looking at a case, and I'm sure everyone has these different times where it's come up. I had a case recently where it was a dirk or dagger possession. Someone had a knife on them, a pocket knife. And they had it concealed in a backpack, and it was charged as a felony. It is a wobbler. It could have been charged as a misdemeanor, but the district attorney's office in the county I was practicing in chose to charge it as a felony. And I asked the judge to take judicial notice that my client was a transient in the complaint, because he was listed as transient, meaning he's homeless. And the judge later asked why I did that. And I said, because, Your Honor, I'd like to make a motion to you now for 17B relief. My client didn't possess the dirk or dagger because he's a violent person. He possessed the dirk or dagger because he's homeless. For someone who doesn't have a home, who doesn't have a kitchen, who doesn't have dresser drawers, a knife is a pair of scissors. It cuts a string to pitch a tent. It's a can opener. It cuts open a can so you can open your food and you can eat it out in the wild if you're living in a tent. That knife is not a weapon for my client. It's a tool. It's a tool he needs because he lives on the streets and he doesn't have the tools that we have in our homes. And I think it's really critical for the court to understand that. And those are the kind of cases where, you know, you're trying to make those arguments, trying to impress upon a judicial officer to take that action. And I was fortunate in that case, the judicial officer did take that action. But yeah, I think a major issue for me for 17B relief is too little too late. When you're giving it to us after the person already has that felony conviction, there are so many things that we can't erase just with 17B relief. So that's a big problem, I think.
It's a huge problem. And just to give people an idea how bad it can be, and especially how bad it has been until very recently, I've sat in courtrooms where I watched somebody with a small little petty theft, but it was their second one. And the judge took a plea to a petty theft with prior, which was found to be a felony, and sentenced her to state prison, and ordered that the state prison give her programming for kleptomania, which probably didn't exist. Things are a lot worse than they are in the Bay Area counties. As bad as it is, and it's not good, it's certainly a lot worse than other places. I want to turn to Mitri Hanania to tell us a little bit about some of the other vehicles that are available to help somebody seal their record. Sharia just mentioned for example, ICE, and of course she's talking about immigration and customs enforcement, and that's where the moment you enter a plea, it's considered binding. It'll never get reduced. Even if the judge sentences you as a misdemeanor, for their purposes, it's always going to be a felony. What are some of the tools that are available for somebody that is so situated?
Great question, Jeff. The legislator recently enacted a penal code section for individuals who are out of custody and are seeking relief to vacate their convictions. There is Penal Code Section 1473.7, and one of the provisions in 1473.7 allows us to vacate a criminal conviction for a non-U.S. citizen who was misadvised or not advised at all of any of their immigration consequences as a result of that conviction. And you do not have to be in custody for this petition to be brought. You do not need to bring a writ. It allows you to bring this motion even years after the conviction. And we have also been able to do it if somebody went to trial and was convicted at trial. It's a very powerful resource for non-U.S. citizens who are facing deportation or denied naturalization or are facing the inability to adjust their status. There are other statutes in the post-conviction world now that we didn't have before. For example, if you're registering under Penal Code Section 290, depending on the tier you're on by the Department of Justice, you can get relief from registration. You can also use the statute to, if you have a loved one who's incarcerated in state prison and they're looking to reduce their sentence or potentially get out after serving a lengthy sentence or even a short sentence, but they've done so well in prison, we have the mechanism now to try to go back, recall the sentence, and get them resentenced again. So those are some of the kind of examples that we have. Even veterans, if you're a veteran, there is a provision for veterans also. And my suggestion would be is to contact the public defender's office in the county that your case originates out of. Every public defender's office has some type of clean slate program to help you with your conviction. We do here in San Mateo County. And so that would be my suggestion.
And just to add on one thing you said a moment ago, if you're looking for relief and you're a non-citizen and you want relief because you weren't advised properly, actually the standard's even broader than that.
Yeah.
If you did not understand, even if you were told the admonition, but for one reason or another, you can show that you did not understand the immigration consequences, that may still be enough, even if your lawyer adequately advised you.
Correct. That's right, Jeff.
Bob from San Francisco will be with you just in just a moment. Again, we're here to help. We have callers on the line like Bob that we're here to help and give you advice, give you resources. That's why we're here. We're only here by the good graces of the folks at KALW who have been hosting this program for me and before me with Chuck Finney as a public service for about 40 years. And we continue to do so. We're happy to do so. But we're here to help them as well. Let me turn it over to John Carroll.
The number to call is 800-525-9917 to help us out during this first day of KALW's fall membership campaign, 800-KALW-917, or online kalw.org. And John, we have some good news. We're over halfway to meeting our goal for this hour. We need two more calls.
Just two more. I know we're going to get it. I know we're going to get it in the next 15 minutes. I'll bet we'll probably even get four. We could probably get
think so?
I think we could get four. I think there are four people out there that are really I know you're one of them right now. I know you're thinking, should I call? Or if it's been a while, I've been thinking about doing it. Maybe I'll do it. Oh, maybe I could do it tomorrow. No, don't wait. Don't delay. Take advantage of this challenge match right now and help us reach that challenge match and support the programming that you're listening to and love. And you know, support a local community station that actually provides you with this kind of resource because, you know, you don't get this kind of thing anywhere else. It's really quite unique. And we love that we're able to provide this to you. But as they say, while we depend upon the kindness of strangers, that manifests itself in your gift to the station. And so take a moment right now. It could be as little as $5 a month. Maybe $20 a month works for you. Maybe $100 or a one-time gift of $1,000 or $5,000, whatever it might be. Whatever fits in your budget, every gift is valued and it helps to support the station and the programming that you hear because it's because of you that everything you hear happens. So call right now, 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or go online at kalw.org and click donate.
And if you've never given to KALW before, why don't you become a new member at our basic level of $50 a year? That's all it takes to join KALW, $50 a year at 800-525-9917, 800-KALW-917, or online kalw.org. We are looking for two more of you to make our goal for this hour of your legal rights. Have you been listening and you've been informed and educated on this topic of criminal justice? We need to hear from you right now, 800-525-9917 or online kalw.org. And now back to you, Jeff.
And before we get too far astray, I want to turn it over to a very patient Bob from San Francisco. Bob, you're on the air. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. I have a question. So I recently had a civil protective order finish up. I'm wondering how I can get in contact with, immigration or TSA so that I'm not asked questions upon entering the country. I don't know if your guests know anything about that.
I'm not sure I quite understood your question. Are you asking about being able to get some kind of documentation before you leave so you'll have an easier return?
Yeah, or be able to just get in touch with them. Because basically, when I leave the country, everything's fine. When I come back into the country, they ask if I'm traveling with the person who got the protective order. But that protective order is over now, and I'm wondering how I can clear my name off that list, or if my name can clear off the CLETS list.
You know, I'm happy to turn it over to one of my guests, but I also wanted to suggest to you that you can get a copy of the order and keep it with you so that when you return, you either show them the original order if it expired or you show them what's been filed more recently, terminating the order. But in addition, let me see if any of my guests have additional suggestions how can Bob get something over to them or to get his name off of CLET so that he doesn't have these problems traveling.
Bob, one suggestion I might have, I agree with Jeff. I would keep a copy of that order with you when you travel. I think that's a very good idea. I've seen actually people arrested where the protective order or the case was dismissed and the protective order was not formally terminated in the system, and they were being arrested for violating the protective order. It happened to a client who walked in excuse me, his wife walked in crying. They were supposed to go to a wedding in Canada, and they were arrested at SFO. And we had to scramble to get it before a judge on Friday afternoon to get him released out of custody for being falsely arrested. And so keep a copy of the order. My other suggestion would be is what I did, which is if you're able to do so, get TSA pre-checked and global entry. And that way you get vetted for when you travel, especially coming and back in the country. It really does allow you to come in without any hiccups here. So that's my suggestions.
Okay.
Bob, okay. I hope that was helpful, and thank you for joining us in Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
We're nearing the end of the hour. I really wanted to ask, really, if there's any further comment, Judge, that you want to make. I mean, obviously, what the courts are supposed to be doing is trying to reach a balance between public safety and yet tagging people that probably don't deserve a lifelong criminal label for often less serious offenses. Do you see any solution inside, anything that will fix this problem?
Well, first of all, I think we need to change the authority that's given to these various boards and professional license agencies in terms of what they are allowed to do with respect to criminal convictions. I think that there needs to be a cleanup with respect to saying, hey, if you've been granted relief and your felony's been reduced to a misdemeanor, then they need to treat it as a misdemeanor. Section 8 housing, if it's been reduced, they need to treat it as a misdemeanor. That's number one. Number two, you know, under administrative rulemaking, these agencies are delegated authority by the legislature to be able to do these various kinds of things with respect to the actions they take with respect to convictions. So again, I think there needs to be a legislative change. With respect to judges making decisions, everyone's under time pressure. You have to make this decision. A request is made to reduce it to a misdemeanor. There's going to be almost a pro forma objection by the district attorney, and you're trying to do this weighing when you don't know all of the facts of the instant crime that's alleged, and you don't necessarily know all the facts with respect to the person's history. So I think judges are dependent on defense attorneys to be able to give us all of this information so that we can hopefully make this decision. Because, again, you got tons of cases and you're trying to do justice to everyone. And the default is to deny it. And that isn't good for everyone. So we need a more streamlined information pipeline so that judges have everything that they need in order to make a decision that's more fair and adequate for all concerned.
Sheree Wallace, would you like to take about a minute for any closing thoughts?
Sure. And I think that's so valuable coming from Judge Hyman, because that's as a practitioner, that's what I want to know. I think what I would just say is for those people who have records who are looking to either clear them or who have pending cases and want to have their felonies reduced to misdemeanors, do express to your attorney all the things you can about what you're doing. Are you employed? Are you seeking to be in a certain field? Are you involved in vocational training? Let us know what your future plans are, because we can go to a judge and tell them, Your Honor, if this client gets convicted of a felony, you're going to crush his chances of getting that real estate license. You know, let us know if you've taken classes or done something to better your situation, like, for example, anger management, if you had a crime that involved some degree of violence or some kind of altercation. Really, really make that effort to give us the information we need so that we can fight to either have your case reduced or at the end have your record cleared. And for those people who are practitioners who are listening, because I know there are a lot of lawyers on the line, make those motions at the preliminary hearing stage. Make the judges have to really think about whether or not your client deserves to be a felon at the end of a preliminary hearing where it's a wobbler. I really think that we have to impose on our judicial officers to be more liberal in the granting of 17B motions.
Peter Hanani, would you like to take about a minute?
I would. I would like to just express the following. I think it's imperative that if you do have a criminal record, that you get a copy of your criminal record from the Department of Justice. And you can also, and probably be smart to also get a copy of your record through the FBI and to look on your record to find out what is on it. If you have a felony that can be reduced to a misdemeanor, bring a motion under 17B to do it. If you've completed probation and you want it dismissed under 1203.4, bring the motion. If you went to state prison, you can now bring a motion petition to dismiss like a 1203.4, and you should look into doing that. That could help you with employment. If you have a arrest that did not lead to a conviction, now the statute allows you to seal it. So talk to an attorney about sealing those arrests that didn't result in a conviction. And in fact, Jeff, just so you know, the legislator has done two important things. One is they're asking the Department of Justice to start reviewing all these records and to automatically grant 1203.4. And the legislator is also, the Department of Justice is also, from my understanding, ordering the sealing of arrests that did not result in conviction. Or if it was dismissed under 1203.4, I'm not reading it in the statute, but in practice, the Department of Justice is requesting it to be sealed. So talk to an attorney about all this relief.
And just to add to that, every county in the Bay Area, in fact, every county in the state of California, has somebody serving them in the form of a lawyer referral service of the county bar or a neighboring county bar, and they all have somebody assisting legally indigent folks. You've been listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM, San Francisco Bay Area. My guest tonight, retired Judge Eugene Hyman, and attorneys Mitra Hanania and Cherie Wallace. Thanks again to our guests and to all of you for joining us. And at the controls, Joanne Marr. I'm Jeff Hayden. Good night, stay safe, and zealously guard your legal rights.
Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information.